kind enough to join me this morning, getting up early with us, is my good friend, Dr. John Green, one of our political analysts on the show, of course, professor of political science, University of Akron. John, Donald Trump takes those seven swing states, narrowest of margins in some of them, but still, he was able to take all seven of those states that were such a key. Talk about as that election unfolded last night and what stood out to you.
Well, you know, it was really very interesting because a lot of analysts had, you know, the night before the election, had basically likened this election to a jump ball in basketball, right? Could go either way. The swing states looked very close. You know, the national polls were tied. But, you know, you have to remember that in basketball, when there's a jump ball, somebody gets the ball. And in this case, Donald Trump did and managed to basically sweep the swing states. And I think it's because the same sets of people who were deeply discontented with the present situation, particularly with the economy, you know, ended up voting for him in very large numbers. Now, that meant, as you said, that many of these swing states were very, very close, but they look like they're, you know, solid victories for Trump. There's still some votes out in Nevada. You know, we'll have to see how that plays out. But what a comeback for former President Donald Trump.
John, when you look at the race, you know, Donald Trump was hammering immigration. Kamala Harris was handling the abortion issue. But when it came down to it, correct me if I'm wrong and expand a little bit, it was really the economy that people were going for and against in regards to the polls.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, from the beginning of the race, you know, back when the primaries were beginning, you know, and Biden was still in the race and Donald Trump had a bunch of Republican opponents, you know, poll after poll after poll showed that the top concerns of Americans were the economy and particularly inflation, because there were some other things going on in the economy, like low unemployment that tended to take, for some people, take the edge off of that. But basically, it was, you know, concern about the economy. That's not a new thing in American politics, right? And remember Bill Clinton back when he was elected in 1992, his mantra was, it's the economy, stupid, right? So, and that ended up being the major thing. You know, if you look at the exit polls, of the majority of Americans, two-thirds of Americans that thought the economy was not good, Trump won 69% of their votes. So, yes, issues of immigration, important. Issue abortion, important issue. But in the end, for most voters, it was their pocketbooks. And, you know, that, I think, makes a lot of intuitive sense.
When you look at the Senate and the House, also the Republicans able to flip a number of seats there. Really a big day for the Republicans. Talk about what that means here for the next 4 years.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because the Senate's been very closely divided for the last few years, and it will still be closely divided, but the Republicans were able to pick up a number of seats in many cases in the states where Trump was, you know, winning by close margins. And so it's very clear that the Republicans will control the Senate. A little less clear in the House. The Republicans have done very well in the House races, but a lot of those races are still out, particularly in places like California. So we won't know the total numbers probably for a couple of days, but it does look like they have a good chance of controlling the House as well as the Senate. Narrow wins all the way around, and this bodes well for Donald Trump because the opposition party won't be able to block many of his proposals.
Well, this is Dr. John Green, professor of political science, of course, University of Akron. You talked about the Senate. Sherrod Brown has served in that Senate since 2007, defeated by Bernie Moreno. Talk a little bit about that race because, John, that's a historic race, the most expensive Senate race in U.S. history between Moreno and Brown, and the challenger defeats the incumbent.
Well, you know, it's a real good evidence of how the politics of the country are changing and how and that's happening in Ohio. You know, Ohio was once regarded as the quintessential battleground state. You and I used to talk about that a lot in past elections, and there's been a big shift. And, you know, Sherrod Brown, I think, ran a good campaign to try to hang on. You know, in some ways he was trying to hang on to what was Ohio a few years ago. And in the end, it was not to be, but an extraordinarily expensive state. you know, not much of a presidential campaign in Ohio, but a very fierce Senate race. And clearly Trump had some coattails and was able to bring Bernie Moreno in. A lot of voters that historically, blue-collar voters, who historically would have voted for Brown, ended up voting for Moreno. So very big change in Ohio politics.
With us, Dr. John Green, professor of political science, University of Akron. Let's look at Kamala Harris's campaign. She put it together in just a couple of months. And we mentioned that Donald Trump is going to win. But talk about the campaign she ran, what you liked, and maybe if she had to redo it, maybe some different things she could do differently, John.
Well, you know, she was put in a really difficult position. You know, a lot of pressure for Joe Biden to step down. And eventually he did. And then she had to really put it together a campaign very, very quickly. I think that part of her campaign was very successful. She unified her party. She got some really good publicity. She moved ahead in the polls, partly because of the contrast between her, you know, a young, vigorous politician versus Joe Biden, you know, who was clearly showing his age. But then when it got into this sort of the stretch of the campaign after Labor Day, I think she had some real difficulty with the mechanics of the campaign. She had some difficulty telling the country what her vision was with some degree of specificity. And there were certain issues that just bedeviled her, you know, the war in Gaza and the Middle East, the immigration situation, you know, the inflation. It was just very difficult, you know, for any incumbent to handle that, incumbent Democrat to handle that. And perhaps she didn't do it quite as well. On the other hand, she brought, I think, some excitement to the race. I think she was able to articulate a number of positions, for instance, on abortion, that may turn out in the end to prevail.
John, what does that party do now? Donald Trump will be moving into the Oval Office, and certainly they have some years to rethink. Does she make another run in 4 years, or is there someone else on the horizon in that party?
Well, there are a whole bunch of people on the horizon in the Democratic Party. And I don't know if Vice President Harris will run again. I can make a strong case that she should, you know, because she's got some real experience. It was, you know, an unfortunate outcome from her point of view and from the point of view of her supporters. But, you know, she's now battle-tested, and she might be in a much better position, you know, after 4 years of Donald Trump. But there are all kinds of other rising stars in the Democratic Party, Governor Newsom from California, Governor Whitmer from Michigan. So I think it'll be a really contested Democratic primary in 2028. But the Democrats have some soul searching to do. Clearly, their coalition has taken a big blow. And they've got to figure out, well, now how do they put this back together? And, you know, that takes a little while. Parties oftentimes change in victory, but more often they change in defeat. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Democrats pull it together. Now the Republicans, of course, big win, but now they've got to govern, and that's not an easy thing to do.
John, let me ask you this. So much negativity around Donald Trump in the early stages of 2024, right? So many court cases, being into this courtroom and that courtroom and this charge and all this stuff going on. In the end, though, the population in the United States is going to elect Donald Trump into the Oval Office again. How did he dodge literally those bullets, and how was he able to win this presidential race?
You know, one of the most amazing things about the Trump campaign this year was that despite all the bad news, the legal problems, you know, some of the unfortunate things he says, you know, on a regular basis, every time his opponents really went after him, it actually seemed to help him. You know, in the Republican primaries, there were some really strong opponents, but their criticism just seemed to strengthen him. And, you know, the law cases and the conviction and so forth just seemed to strengthen him. And I think it's because he had a core set of supporters who viewed all these things as being unfair. And they stuck with him through thick and thin. And then he was able to add a bunch of people who were just very unhappy about the economy and other problems in the country. And, you know, whether you agree with Donald Trump or not, you have to say he has some political skills, and he was able to pull together his core group and then a group of other disaffected voters. So really a remarkable campaign from this perspective.
All right, John, thanks for getting up with us, my friend. Terrific insight again. Election Day of 2024, Donald Trump, the 45th and now the 47th president of the United States. Thanks, Dr. Green. Always appreciate the time, my friend.
You're welcome. Have a good day, Ray.
You too. Dr. John.